All right. Once again, good morning. My name is JD Rodriguez. A lot of you probably already know me because I get around. I like to talk to people. That's probably one of my biggest things. I just like to talk to people. Some people say I talk too much. Again, I just want to thank you guys all for being here. It truly means a lot to me and my friends on this Next Gen team that you guys are all here to support us and to show us that you care about this next generation that you guys are really supporting and building up. So I just want to give a round of applause to you guys because you guys are the main support for this. And so that's, you know, that's who I am. I'm JD. And quick introduction. So to my sermon. So my sermon title is The Friends We Need and The Friends We Should Be. And my introduction is we all need friends. Life is mentally and physically challenging without friends, someone to lean on, someone to support you. And it's hard to go through life without friends. And that's what my sermon is about today. So the reason I chose this is because as someone going into high school and going and because I think this sermon can apply to and this message can apply to not only people my age, but people of adulthood as well. Because as someone going into high school, it's apparent to see that the people who you choose to be around and your community that you build up around yourself is truly important. It's easy to get sidetracked in different types of groups of maybe people of different views and different opinions, and it's hard. So it's you have to take a look at who you have around you. So that's what my sermon is about today. So everyone has friends, correct? Everyone, or at least someone that you hang around, or maybe you're not even as close to them as you think. But I've had experience with that, just being kind of like the side friend. Everybody has friends, right? Everybody has someone that they at least know, correct? So, and we can all agree that friends are important. And so I have a story. It's in the book of Luke, and it's Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. So I'm gonna read it. Ready? One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered the mat that he was on through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." So let's translate that, shall we? This story really lets us know and really makes it apparent the guideline of what true friends look like and who we should have as our surrounding community. It's important to have people who will build you up and carry you and take you to places where they know that you need to be. At the end of the day, you look at this story and you really look at it. You say, the paralyzed man, what could the paralyzed man have given to these friends other than his own love in return? And we need to build up a community around us that love us for who we are. And have this unconditional love for us. And maybe you wouldn't say it that you love your friends or whatever, because that's something that you would do for a partner. But at the end of the day, that's what you have for someone that you care about. You have love for them. And it's apparent to see that in this passage, these friends truly loved their friend because they knew that they needed to get him to Jesus. And something to apply to the youth are who are the people carrying you? When you can't spiritually walk, do they carry you to Jesus or are they taking you further away? An application for adults as well. Am I a kind friend who helps others get closer to Jesus, especially to the next generation? Like I mentioned before, you guys are the biggest supporters and the biggest builders of this next generation that's coming up. And that's something that you could apply and look and really see. Am I truly helping this next generation? Am I teaching them in the ways of the Lord? Am I going to my niece or my nephew and saying, here, let's read this book called the Bible and teaching them that there's someone who loves them for who they truly are? And so that's my first point is real friends bring you closer to Jesus. And that's my first point. It also leads me to my second point, because a part of the first point is also a passage of scripture from Proverbs 27, verse 17, where it says, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. That leads into my second point, the friends shape who we become. Good friends challenge you, help you grow, and don't just let you stay in the same spot. It's easy to stay stagnant in your faith, and that's one of the worst things that you can do as a Christian is stay still and say, I'm comfortable where I am. God doesn't want us, and Jesus doesn't want us to be comfortable where we are. He wants us to keep moving, because at the end of the day, what do we have? What do we have with God? It's a journey. It's a walk. And you don't stop in a walk. You keep moving. It's a journey. And so we need people around us who are not only where we are at our level, who have the same views as us, but also people who will look at us and challenge our thinking in a loving way and have a discussion and really just look at you and say, well, I think this, well, let's talk about it. Let's continue. Let's challenge each other's biblical understandings of how we interpret different Bible verses, different scriptures of the way Jesus spoke and what parables, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have a discussion with each other, but always remember to stay respectful in those discussions, because a lot of times we can separate from those friends that are truly important because we disagree with them. And you know, a lot of times, like my sisters tell me all the time, you know, have thick skin. That's what they always tell me, you know, and have thick skin, grow thick skin. You know, they want me to be like Eminem. I'm rubber. They just bounce off, right? The words just bounce off, and that's hard for me because I'm like, well, no, they should just be nice to me, like, right? But no, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. Though, at the end of the day, people are not always going to be nice to you. But that's also something that's also a good quality in a friend. Someone who's not always nice to you, but can show you the right way through loving correction. That's what I really want to end on in that second point is something that I really want to stress is the mark of a true friend is someone who is willing to wound you with loving correction. And what I mean by loving correction is someone who is willing to really show, is really willing to stop you and say, are you thinking that way because your flesh is talking, or because you actually think that way? Are you interpreting the scriptures because it's beneficial to you, or are you interpreting them in a way that's beneficial to your walk with Christ? That's what we really need to be looking at with who we choose our friends to be. Surround ourselves with people who are greater than us. That's really what I want to stress in this point right here, is that the people we surround ourselves with need to, and we need to be those people for someone else. Because as the passage that I read in Proverbs 27, 17, it says that iron sharpens iron. We also need to be that iron from someone else. We also need to challenge people's thinking and say, well, are you thinking that way because of this? Or are you thinking that way because it benefits your walk with Christ? That's what we need to be, that person for other people too. So it goes both ways. That's what another thing I want to stress, that friendship goes both ways. And another passage of scripture in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the companion of fools suffers harm. When we surround ourselves with people who are stagnant and lazy in their faith and are okay with being comfortable where they are, it weakens us and it shows us that we're okay, that it's okay just to be okay with our faith, just to be fine and comfortable. Because comfortability is a lie from the enemy. I'm gonna be honest with you. So I just want to stress that point. So choose our friends. So we need to choose friends. So an application is we need to choose friends who sharpen us and make us better. And also be willing to sharpen others and be that honing edge for someone else. And it might hurt. It might hurt to hear some things from those friends. But at the end of the day, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We need to take in that criticism, that loving criticism, and we need to move forward with it. Just really look at it and see. And this is my friend. Love me, and they're telling me this because they love me. So moving on to my third point is that And the third, and my third point is the wrong friends can pull us away. The wrong friends truly can pull us away. And that's not just to say that, and that's not to say that, people, that these friends are inherently wrong in what they're doing because they're comfortable. They just don't know. They just don't know. And it's okay because we need to be that, we need to help those people as well. We need to show them that, that it's not okay to be comfortable in your faith. And we need to really look at our friends. I have a buddy of mine, I won't say his name out of respect for him, but you know, he got in trouble. He's already suspended from school. He's for having some substance on him. Correct. I grew up with that friend. I went to school with him for a very long time, and I feel bad for him, but I will never ever get in his face and tell him that I can't hang around you because of who you are, because of who he is a good person who's made in the image of and likeness of God, just as I was. Cause I love him, but I love him, but I don't love what he does. And that's what God shows us. God shows us, I love you, but I don't love the sin you do. I hate the sin, but I don't hate you. So that's what we need. We need to be a pillar for our friends and show them it's okay. It's okay. You made a mistake. You messed up, but that's all right. I'm here for you. I'm here to support you. I am here to support you, but not the things that you do. I support you. I don't support some of the things you do. And so we need to be that pillar. We need to be that rock on which we build our friendships and we build our communities on. And so John 17:16 is a key principle to be in this world, but not of this world. It says, they are not of this world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So a lot of times it's easy to see with the people that we surround ourselves with in the community that we surround ourselves with people who are of this world. And maybe that's not because they don't know. Again, people who do these things that are wrong is just because they don't know. They don't know. And that's why we need to guide them. And that's not to say that we're better than everybody else, because we're not. We are not better than anybody else. We are dirty, rotten sinners just as they are. And we are made in the image and likeness of God just as they are. So that's another thing to remember. But that's why we need to be careful who we choose to be our friends and who we choose to hang around with. But at the same time, who was Jesus with? Can anybody tell me who in the New Testament, who wrote the most books in the New Testament? Can anybody tell me? Good job. See, that's why, you know, my Theo Michael always says we're the smartest church, that these are the smartest people. And I agree with that. I really thought I was going to have to give you guys an answer there, but you guys are sharp. Hey, you guys have some people around. You guys are sharpening each other, huh? Yeah, iron sharpens iron. You guys are very sharp. So, yes, Paul was the one who wrote the most in the New Testament. And I want to say that. I want to say that because does anybody know who Paul was before he was Paul? Correct. See? Saul. Saul was a Christian murderer. He murdered Christians. He would go out and he would go do these crusades and he would find Christians and murder them because that's the way he was taught. Again, that's how he was taught. He didn't know any better. He was taught that these are blasphemers and that they were going against the church. And that's how he was raised from a very young age, if you actually look in his backstory. But that's the story for a different time. So Paul, right? Correct? Used to be Saul. Why is his new name Paul? Because he was changed. He was changed by Jesus. He was changed by God. He became new. And that's why we need to look at Paul and say, he was chosen. He was chosen by God before his iniquities, his imperfections. He did so much wrong when he was Saul, but God says, I choose you. I choose you because you're imperfect. I need you to be an example for others that people can change. People can change in such a big way. And that's why I want to stress a lot that we not only do we need to surround ourselves with people with, we need to surround ourselves with good people who are like-minded and who are of greater intellect, but also people who we can help and we can support. And we can say and we can show that, because a lot of times what I've learned, especially with my friend that I previously talked about, is that They just want love. They, because in a world that is broken, it is as broken as this, they just want to be loved. They want to be loved by someone who, and that's to be there to show them that you're loved. You're loved by me. I love you, and so does Jesus, because we are all the same. We are all the same, no matter what color, what gender, how old we are. You know, if you're a freshman, you're a sophomore, you're a senior, a big senior. You know, we're all the same. We're all the same. We're created in the image and likeness of God, and we need to show those people that they're loved. And a lot of times, well, we can see that there are stubborn people who say that I'm self-made, I don't need anybody else. But then when those people take a look at their lives, were they really self-made? Did they really go through life by themselves? No, no one goes through life by themselves. Everybody has somebody. So we need to look and befriend and be a friend like Jesus was. And so a point that's not on here that I really want to stress, though, that this is really hard for me right now, is losing friends. Losing friends is also okay. It's something that everybody is going to go through, and I'm sure a lot of people, adults, have gone through, is losing friends. Especially me going through high school right now, I lost friends that were really close to me, that I thought were like brothers to me. My friend who I talked about before, you know, I wouldn't say that I lost him, because I still love him and I still want to guide him and correct him, but I did lose him. I don't talk to him as often as I used to, but that's okay. It's okay to lose people, because what do we always see in the Bible, especially, is that you always have to lose something to gain something. There, nothing comes free in this world. And even though it's really, really hard to lose somebody, and obviously not like dead, but like, you know, lose somebody as a friend, it's truly hard. You know, I had to look at those friends and be like, hey, I'll always be there for you no matter what, okay? But I have to move on. I have to move on to people that I've never met before, and people that of a more like-mindedness, but I'll always be there for you no matter what. You always have my number. You always have me by in your corner no matter what. I'll always be there for you. So again, I really want to stress, I want to stress that point profusely, is that losing friends is okay. Losing friends is okay. And it's really hard to lose people, but at the end of the day, it's okay. We'll gain people in the same manner, almost as quickly as we lost those people. And at the end of the day, be confident, be okay in your, and continue to move forward, be strong, courageous, and always know that someone in your corner, that you're never alone. There is always someone with you. There is always someone to be there. So yeah, I just really want to stress that point, that it's okay to lose people. And something even more that I want to stress is that, well, when it comes to those people that maybe are getting into some things that are, coarse, you know, people that they're getting in trouble for or something, it's okay to separate yourself from those people too, and say, I support you, but I don't support the things that you do. So I kind of have to step back from you a little bit, because then I myself as a person can get caught up in the things that you do. But that's not to say that's not a selfishness, because if you get caught up in the same things that they are, who is going to support them? They need someone from the outside who is not doing those things to give a helping hand, because two people in a hole can't get each other out. They need someone else. They need someone else to pull them out of that hole, outside of that hole. So again, that's what I want to stress and really get. It's friends matter, and people come and go. Friends are usually solid, but it's okay to lose people. Choose your friends wisely, and always, always, always pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for friends. Pray for people. It's hard to see. So again, I just want to stress those points, and that's what I want to conclude on, is that it's okay to lose people, but choose your friends wisely. Help your friends, and stay safe, and pray always. And so that's why I want to lead. I'm going to have my closing prayer now. So I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for just giving me this opportunity to share in your word, for sharing your message, this message that you put in my heart. And Lord, I just want to say thank you for this building, this place, everything that you've given, for everything, just, you know, these friends that I have that will show up to the events that I invite them to. And I thank you for everything that you've given me. Truly, I want to thank you for these friends, this family, that truly, the people that you have put in this church right now, these are my family. And I want to say thank you for them so much, Lord. Because without them, I'm nothing. Without the people around me to support me, I'm nothing. I'm by myself in this world. But you give me these people, this loving community, this loving family to support me. And I want you to stress to this community that they're supported and that they're loved too. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything that you've given me. I want to praise you all the time because of everything that you've done. But not only that, you deserve it all. You deserve all of the worship that we give you. At the end of the day, you're so good and you're so great. And words can't describe everything that you've done. So just thank you, Father. Thank you. And I pray a prayer of protection over people in this church, in my family, in my community, that you protect them from evil thoughts of loneliness, of doubt, of self-guilt. Lord, I want you to rid them of that and make it known to them that they're not alone, that they're never alone. And even though it feels maybe they don't have as many friends as they want to, but they always have you. You're the one solid in everybody's life, Lord. Just want to say thank you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Isn't he good? He's so good, right? And JD just turned 15 2 weeks ago. And God is good, right? Listen, God gets all the glory, right? So we're here to be encouraged by how God will use the faith of a child, of a young adult, to move and to encourage the next generation of believers. And so thank you, JD. Great job. At this time, we are taking communion today. It's the fourth Sunday of every month we take communion. And it's really important, right? The message that JG just delivered had a lot to do with friendship. But listen, nobody, right? If you guys read in John 15, right? Verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus goes on and he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. In fact, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, right? For everything I have learned from the Father, I made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit that will last, right? And so do whatever you ask. Whatever you ask, I will do, right? If you ask my Father's name. And so what a friend that we have in Jesus. It's not enough just to say, like, I said, you guys have heard me say this before. The creator of the universe came and gave his life so that you might have a way back to the Father. Hang your hat on that, right? Just stop and think about that. And so as we get into it, and what does it mean for us to take communion? Number one, communion is for believers. Number two, we remember, right? It's one of the things that Jesus told us to do. Number one, we baptize here in the church and we take communion. It's the two things that he asked us to do, to remember about what he did. And what does it mean? Why is it important? Because when we talk about communion and what that was in that Last Supper, is that Jesus ultimately was preparing the disciples to give his life as a perfect lamb who knew no sin, to give his life so that what? We might be saved and forgiven from our sins. And so it's a remembrance. Oftentimes, you know, when you take communion or something like that, it can be a religious thing. It's a thing that you do every so often. But for us, we want to be very intentional to remember, what did it cost Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins? It cost him everything. And we always say the shame and the guilt and the pain and the burden, all endured by Jesus on the cross so that we might be forgiven. And that's what we're celebrating today. In fact, you guys remember on Thursday, was as they were preparing the Passover meal, they were having that. And Jesus was preparing, and what did it mean? It was a reminder of how God saved the Israelites, right? And brought them out of bondage and asked them to sacrifice the perfect lamb. And that's what Jesus came to do for us. So I want you guys to go ahead and stand. And we're going to read the scriptures, and then we're going to take communion this morning. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for just an amazing day. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, Lord God. Thank you for the gift that you bestow upon us, Lord God. Not only just, but every person here in this room, my Lord, is equipped to do your work, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you again for your presence and for who you are. Father God, forgive us, Lord God, right now. Lord, forgive us, Lord God, if we are not living right, if we've been far away from you, Lord. Lord, now is the time, whenever we get ready to take communion, for us to repent, to turn away. That's what it means, to turn away from things that have, maybe those stumbling blocks, maybe the secret sin that we think that nobody knows, but you know. You're sovereign. You see all things, but you are so merciful and kind. And so first of all, Lord, we rebuke the attacks of the enemy that just wants to keep us down, that wants to keep us living in shame and hidden. Lord God, you came to do away with all of that. Lord God, you give us forgiveness, Lord God, by your death on the cross. So Lord, would you be with us right now, Lord? And again, communion is for believers. So if you've never trusted Jesus Christ in your life and you've been feeling the Holy Spirit prompt you, there's nothing more important. There's no greater decision that you can make than to surrender your life. And that's you this morning. I'm going to ask you to follow along in this prayer. Or come speak to me afterwards if you want to learn more about what that means. But we need to surrender our life to Jesus. There's no greater decision that we can make. If that's you this morning, follow along in this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me, Lord God, for my sins, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are. Lord Jesus, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I need you in my life. Lord, I need a friend like you. I need a Savior like you. Forgive me, Lord God. Help me to walk and live for you from this day forward, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Redeem me, Lord God, and save me for myself. If that's you this morning, come see us afterwards. We want to pray for you, want to encourage you, want to love you, want to support you on this walk, on this journey with Jesus Christ. But for the rest of us, the Bible's very clear. It tells us and it gives us instructions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a manner that is unworthy is guilty of sinning against the body. So everybody should examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Father God, you know the condition of our hearts, Lord God. Help us to discern right now. Help us to be right with you, Lord God. Father God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for our sins. For the sins that we commit and the sins that we don't commit. Forgive us for being disobedient. For Lord God, you are such a merciful Father. Lord Jesus, you are such an amazing Savior. Holy Spirit, thank you again, Lord, for the correction, the guidance that we receive from you. And so everybody's praying right now. I'm going to stay silent for about a minute so that everybody can pray, really pray and examine your heart. We don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves. We want to be right before the Lord before we take communion. Father God, thank you again. Lord Jesus, thank you again, Lord, for the instruction, for your surrendered life on the cross for us, Lord God. Lord, we are going to take communion right now. We're going to honor you, Lord God, as we want to just be with you, Lord Jesus. We want to honor and remember what you did for us so many years on the cross all that time ago, Lord God, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, thank you again, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord God, that you are so kind to us. Lord God, we deserve justice and wrath. You give us mercy and love in exchange, Lord God. We're humbled by that. Continue to minister to our hearts, Lord God. Continue to encourage us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, protect us, guide us, Lord God. Continue to be with our church family and our youth, Lord God, the next generation, to stand boldly for who you are, Lord Jesus, in the world that is ever-changing, Lord God, and the world that is full of division, Lord God. Help us to stand for your truth, Lord Jesus, to represent you, Lord God, to glorify you, Lord, in the world that desperately needs to know who you are. Lord God, my prayer is that we always, Lord God, seek to know you, Lord, to know you, to know you, and to make you known. Lord, we love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.